Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3, Sport On with the Straits Times Sports Desk.
Welcome to Sport On here on Money FM 89.3, and we have with us the sports podcasters from the Straits Times who have their own sports podcast called A Game of Two Halves. I'm Howie Lim, and with me are sports correspondents for the Straits Times, Sazali Abdul Aziz and David Lee, as well as assistant sports editor Rohit Brijnath. Thanks for dropping by, guys.
Hi, Howie.
Hey, hi.
So today in the first half of the show, we're going to talk about an eventful week of football gone, both in the English Premier League and locally involving Singapore clubs. Let's talk about the big game last weekend, possibly one of the biggest games of the EPL season, where Liverpool beat Manchester City 3-1 at Anfield to open up a 9-point lead over City, who are their strongest title rivals. So Liverpool are now 8 points clear at the top of the EPL. Does this mean it's their title to lose? Who is daring to take this one? Point to Rohit.
Well, it's their title to win. Their title to lose. I think they've got to look at it in a positive way. I think the first thing is that, I mean, one of the really nice things about Liverpool, I think what exceptional athletes or exceptional teams do when they're playing well is they make a sport look easy. They make the complex look simple. And I think, you know, yesterday's second goal, for example, you know, it was like diagonal passes going right through and then Salah's header. I mean, it was just like a very complex actually piece of, you know, movement and passing and precision and spatial awareness, but they made it look so simple and so easy. And so one thing is for sure, forget about anything else, forget about the points for the moment. Just watching Liverpool at the moment is absolutely a sporting pleasure.
The geometry of Salah's goal was really what captured Rohit's imagination when he came into office this morning. He was talking about it. I think, again, you mentioned the fact that City is their strongest rivals for the title, and you know, they lost 4 games last season, City, and they've already lost 3 this term. So, you know, things don't look good for Manchester City, and you know, Liverpool are undefeated, of course, still after 12 games, but you know, in saying that, that means there's still another 26 games to go. So, you know, it really depends on how they build on from here.
I'm not good with the football math, but I imagine that the math isn't coming into the equation just yet, right, David?
Yeah, I think it's still early in the season. You know, like Sazali mentioned, 26 games to play for, 78 points. It's still too early, but when you look at the way Liverpool have started the season, 12 games, 11 wins, 1 draw, and their last win, a comprehensive 3-1 victory over the champions, Man City, it's enough to break anyone's spirit, you know, especially City. And the other teams must be wondering, you know, what can we do to take down Liverpool? And Rohit mentioned, you know, they make the complex look easy. They go into games with that swagger, you know, that champions have. They are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and sports, a big deal is mindset, right? Once you get into that, oh no, we have to chase them,
I also think I think Klopp is going to have a big challenge, because I think, you know, people are going to talk about pressure. He has to talk to his players about opportunity. You know, people are going to talk about the past. He has to talk about the present. I think, you know, every coach, I mean, the coaches in sport and athletes can be excruciatingly boring because they always say the same thing, which is live in the present, you know, stay in the present. And that's really important, because
one game at a time.
I think what has happened in the past is, of course, is material, but it has to be irrelevant to them in some way. And so, yeah, but you have to move on and you can't look too far ahead. I mean, I think the funny thing is, everybody is looking at the table, and I think Klopp has to tell his players actually not to look at the table. They have to just look at every single match. And I think there's something interesting about Klopp, that he finds a joy in football, and I think that's what you got to do. You got to make it a joyous thing for your players. And I think at the moment it's there.
And it's interesting also, you mentioned how about mentality and you know, how mental strength comes into play, you know, in a long season like the EPL. I guarantee you ask any diehard Liverpool fan now, hey, you know, you guys are going to win the title. Nobody is going to tell you, you know, we're looking forward to lifting the title. Nobody, absolutely not. Our newspaper editor, Lim Han Ming, just came by. You know, we were all joking with him,
try not to want to jinx it.
Yeah,
either,
and he's like,
right?
No. I've learned so many over the years. You know, I've suffered so much. I'm not going to jinx this one. Yeah.
I think these guys know. I think that they know that leads in sport, whether you're an individual player at the Masters, you know, and you're leading, you know, or you could be a team who's leading a season, leads mean nothing. And eventually, in the end, one of the great things about sport is that there are that many teams, but only so few trophies. So everybody can't win them. And you wait. Sometimes you wait 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. When I was researching my column today, I saw that Somerset, which is one of the English county cricket teams or whatever, I think they started playing county cricket in 1891, and they're still waiting for their first title.
Oh,
and they've come second about 5-6 times. So,
you but know, they the still is, hold true.
Can you imagine
one
Iceland?
Day they will.
Nobody would believe that Iceland, right, has never won a Winter Olympics medal. Right, they're still waiting. So, you know, I think, you know, that's part of the beauty of sport is this waiting, and you feel cursed, and you feel there's a hex on you, and you know, it's just. That's part of the beauty of it.
Talking about curses or maybe controversy with the VAR, the video assistant referee, as we go back to that game. Manchester City claiming they were denied a clear penalty just before Liverpool's early first goal. And then again, when Mo Salah scored their second, what do you think? Cezali, maybe David.
Right. I think it was a penalty, that the hand was in the way of the ball. Otherwise, the ball would have gone on to Raheem Sterling, who would have been on a one-on-one with the goalkeeper. But the thing about VAR is I think there should be a lot more common sense and consistency in using technology. Right now, you know, the English Premier League, how they use the VAR is quite different from how some of the other leagues are using it. The referees are not, you know, referring to a monitor themselves. They're taking instructions from elsewhere in England. So I think they could review this. You know?
Why are we still here? This feels like hand of God, Diego Maradona, back 30 years ago.
So they're trying to remove the likelihood of a hand of God happening. But in the process, they seem to be muddling and messing everything up. David is right in saying that was a handball incident. However, you know, again, and it's about application of the rules. If you look at a split second before that, the City player, you know, the ball came off his arm.
Mm.
So Liverpool fans will say, oh, it's a handball, you know, by the City player. So it's immaterial whether it hit their defender's hand. So again, like you know, David said, I think it's there's a lot of grey area in football when it comes to application of the rules, but they have to find a way to sort this out because, you know, right now as an experiment
to some degree.
Yeah, as an experiment it's really not working out.
But you know, we were talking about Leeds earlier, that Leeds mean nothing. I mean, if they had given that penalty, City would have been then one goal up. You don't know what's going to happen in the match. They didn't give the penalty, and seconds later, Liverpool scores. Right. And, you know, I mean, that's really the beauty of football, you know. And that was the beauty of I thought the first 45 minutes, you know, the match, the speed of these guys and, you know, moving back and forth. I thought it was a great advertisement. You know, they kept saying great advertisement for English Premier League. That's not the way I look at it. I thought it was a great advertisement for football.
So we shouldn't be asking what could go wrong for Liverpool now. David said it's quite early in the season. Anything could really happen.
Right. I think many things can go wrong when you look at...
Many things can go right as well.
Right,
as Rohit said, let's be optimistic.
Right, but if the question is what could go wrong for Liverpool, and you look at how they entered this game, you know, everything went wrong for Manchester City.
Mm.
You know, they had injuries, their goalkeeper was injured, their left back.
Yep.
You know, so things can still go wrong for Liverpool. They lost their goalkeeper through injury early on in the season. That didn't affect them too much. I think they do have strength in depth in their squad, but you know, when a couple of injuries all mount, you never know.
I think these things are a domino effect. I think, you know, you have one or two players injured. I think, you know, you hit the woodwork and the ball comes out, and the other guys hit the woodwork and the ball goes in. And, you know, then suddenly people start talking, oh my God, they've had two draws in a row and then they've had a loss. And, you know, the pressure, are they going to, you know, are they jinxed again? And I think that's when, you know, your character gets tested. And it's bound to happen. I mean, you're going to probably have a flat period, you know, maybe, you know, a couple of weeks you're flat, and what happens and how you respond, and that's what champions are.
And the way they play, you know, it's such a high tempo pressing game, and they're still involved in five competitions, you know, in the Premier League, the two domestic cups, Champions League and the FIFA Club World Cup. You know, five competitions, it's going to be crazy.
Stamina comes into play too.
Next month is going to be a critical month.
Mm.
You know, that there are talks that they're going to play two games in 2 days. They have to field two different teams.
Mm.
You know, injuries, suspensions, they can all come into play.
So if you like The Straits Times Sport On and Game of Two Halves, you can listen live on Money FM 89.3 from 5 p.m. every Monday. You can also subscribe to A Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating as well. Back to the second half of our conversation now with ST Sports podcasters. We're with Cezali Abdulaziz and David Lee, as well as Assistant Sports Editor Rohit Brijnath. There was an exciting development though last week when the ASEAN Football Federation, which oversees football in Southeast Asia, announced that next year we'll see the revival of the ASEAN Club Championship. Maybe David, you can take this one and tell us more.
Right, so the AFF, ASEAN Football Federation, announced, you know, the creation of this competition that will take place in the second half of next year. the ASEAN Club Championship, I think it will feature 12 teams from the region. They'll be either domestic champions or cup winners from ASEAN countries. This will be a good competition, I feel, in the sense that it will feature the best of Southeast Asia, the region. Right now, you know, the best from this region, like the champions from Thailand and Malaysia, namely Buriram and Chiang Rai and Johor, they currently play in the AFC Champions League, which is one tier higher than what some of the other ASEAN champions are playing in, which is the AFC Cup. So this competition will allow them to play together. And apparently the prize money we're talking about is about more than $1 million US.
That's quite sizable.
Yeah, that's sizable. And of course, with this competition comes visibility for some of the region's lesser known clubs. And I think it would be good that, you know, if this competition could attract sponsors, publicity and coverage for these clubs.
Talking about local clubs though, another was in the news for a less pleasant reason last week as well. Warriors FC, 9-time domestic champions and Singapore's most successful professional club, faced 107 charges for offences against the Employment Act and are now accused of owing over $350,000 in salaries to their employee Sazali. How did it get to this stage? What will happen to Warriors?
This is actually a very sad case. If you look at it, Warriors are the most successful local professional club. You know, they've even played in the Asian Champions League not too long ago. But you know, things have just gone south for them in the last couple of years. They actually first reported on their financial issues last October, which was 13 months ago. And this was when players were getting salaries, 2-3 weeks late, and you know it was affecting, you know, some of their
morale,
their spending
obviously.
And stuff. Yeah, morale as well, of course. Yes, and honestly, I the season ends in November and begins in February. So I thought, you know, at the end of last year they would, you know, sort it out and you know, make sure this doesn't carry on into this season. But it has gotten worse. As the charge sheets have described, you know, some club employees have not been paid as far as July, which is, you know, 4 months salary, which obviously, you know, is a huge hit to the individuals involved. And all the players have not been paid for 3 months straight. And despite this, they went on an amazing run to the Singapore Cup final, where unfortunately they lost 4-3 to Tampines. But looking ahead, again, like I said, it's one entire season now gone, and this time I don't think they will be participating in the SPL unless they manage to show that, you know, their finances are in order and all this mess is cleaned up before the start of next year. And we've also learned that there are foreign investors, interested parties who are mulling a possible takeover in terms of leadership of the team, of the club, and you know, let's hope that works out. I mean, if
hopefully that'd be a welcome change.
Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna be, you know, turn the Warriors into a Manchester City of Singapore or something like that. But certainly, I think they will help ease some of the financial issues that the club faces. And like I said, most importantly, we have a local team. You know, our players are, get their salaries and they can move on from this.
We'll have to leave it there. There goes the final whistle for our sports discussion of the week. We hope you enjoyed listening to us. I'm Howie Lim, along with sports correspondents for the Straits Times, Sazali Abdulaziz and David Lee, as well as assistant sports editor Rohit Brijnath. Guys, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.